Blog Talk Radio.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
Like to become a real estate investor but haven't won the lottery yet? Well, you're in good. Unlock Your Wealth Radio is here to help you learn how to fix your credit, get out of debt, build true financial independence in just 1 hour a week. So let's not waste any more time. Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Radio with Heather Wagenhals. Greetings and salutations, everyone. It's so good to be back on air. I have this hiatus due to my throat being pretty roughed up. And then, well, I fell in love, and that whole enjoyment period kept me from working quite a bit. And, well, because work just kind of got in the way of dating and falling in love with my now husband, and so I was enjoying that and not in such a hurry to get back on air. And then when we returned from our honeymoon, my lovely dear new spouse says, "The honeymoon is over. It's time to get back to work." And what an interesting time we're in for me to get back to work. Unlock Your Wealth Radio is about helping you learn more about your personal finances and how to overcome any issues that you may have personally that keep you from being truly financially independent and successful. We're going to talk about a variety of things. For those of you who are new to the program and haven't listened to my other programs on regular radio, I'm going to tell you a little bit about today's show and how the show's formatted. I wrote a real estate investment strategy about 8 years ago called The Keys to Riches. And the keys to riches is simply a baker's dozen of financial concepts that not only teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money, but it also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth through real estate, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. Our parents teach us many things, but money management may or may not be one of them. They may actively teach you by saying, "Now, Johnny, you have to save. Put that in your piggy bank. Don't go blow that on ice cream at the store." Or they may not have shared anything like that, but you watched your parents struggle, clipping coupons, shopping the sales, driving all the way across town to save $2. All of these things built in our minds how to manage money, either actively or passively, and then we kind of carry those skills with us. And whether they're working for us or not, they're in our head. We're programmed to do these things. And so what Unlock Your Wealth Radio does is seek to help you identify those things and give you the tools to overcome those issues so you can be truly financially independent. We have a few segments that we do here on the show. In the future, we will have featured guests that identify what key we're featuring that particular week and help talk about money management, asset management, debt reduction, credit repair. The big popular thing to talk about now is loan modification, and we have a guest coming up that's going to talk to us about loan modifications. And then we have Minutes on Your Money, where we take and look at what our current news and economic data is and kind of filter that for you, because you don't know what applies to you. You hear about all of these stimulus packages and economic bills and government handouts, but what does that mean to me, the individual? So we take and filter that money in that segment, filter that information in that segment, and help digest it in a format that you understand what it means to you. Our Investor's Edge is for our accomplished listeners and for those that have been with the program before and have made it through the first Financial Freedom Series and the Keys to Riches program, and they are now in their real estate investment phase. And so we talk about different opportunities for them or different new investment tools, whether they're good, whether they're bad, how do they work, and again, with them, what's in it for me. Our nuts and bolts segment talks about specifically how to implement the featured key for the week. So today's key we're going to deal with, create credit. And so in today's nuts and bolts segment, we're going to feature and talk about what are credit requirements for mortgage credit worthiness and how we can establish or fix our credit if we're not quite there yet. I know with everything that's going on in the economy, people losing jobs, I heard about this technique or this insurance that I have on my credit card is supposed to pay my bills, but it's not, and now I'm late. What do I do? So in nuts and bolts, we'll address those things. And at the end of every show, we will feature the key of the week in its entirety, and we will work through our key statements, affirmations, and homework for us to work on until we meet again the following week. That kind of gives you an overview of what we're going to be doing here on the show. We are going to have all kind of neat giveaways. We always do a trivia question. And if you sign up for our electronic magazine, and if you are a subscriber, you will get the trivia question 3 days before the show, because the e-zine goes out on Wednesdays to promote Saturday's show. So if you are an e-zine subscriber, you'll be able to get that information and have an opportunity to research what that trivia question is and be prepared to call in with the answer on Friday. So it gives you a leg up. So there's value in being a subscriber. It doesn't just talk about the show, but we also have our show sponsors and our different complementary industry partners that help you to build your wealth through real estate and accomplish your financial objectives. So there's links, there's all kind of good tasty information, articles. So it's worth your while. So you're saying, well, I want to subscribe to the e-zine. So that's really simple. All you need to do is open up an email and type in e-zine, E-Z-I-N-E, at unlockyourwealth.com. That's e-zine at unlockyourwealth.com. And in the subject line, put subscribe me, please. And then you will be on the weekly email version of our magazine. Now, today's trivia question, you're like, okay, I heard about the trivia question. Write this down. I'm going to give you the call-in phone number right now, and I'm going to give it to you so you can be prepared to start dialing when I ask the question. And we'll take calls in a little bit, but if you are hot to trot and you think you know the answer, you can call in and get in line because it does fill up pretty quick. The guest call-in number is area code 718-508-9002. So that's 718-508-9002. Or if you're logged in online, you can use that phone number on the call-in page for the show itself. Now, today's trivia question is going to be rewarded by our coaching package from the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. We have a 13-week coaching package, and if you give us 13 minutes, we will change your life. So you'll get a coaching package with 13 separate coaching sessions, 13 minutes apiece. And what we're going to do is we're going to provide you an email questionnaire. You fill that out, and then we will start with our coaching. We will implement your plan for success, and our coaching sessions will help you get there. If you have issues, why you can't get something, this catastrophic event just came up, and I don't know how to handle it, we will help you use the tools and resources you already have available to you, but you may not realize, to be financially independent, to be successful. So that's what we're giving away, a 13-week coaching package for the person who correctly answers this following question. Now, this question, since today's key is about credit, this question is, what is the minimum credit score? And I'll tell you later why score is not always important, but what is the minimum credit score for conforming conventional underwriting guidelines? So if you wanted to go buy a house and you wanted to go use conventional financing because you feel you have good credit and you have a good down payment you can put down, then what is that minimum score that they're looking for? Now, there's other things that go along with it, and we'll talk about the difference between credit score and credit quality in a bit. But there's your question. So you can start to dial in now. We're not going to take answers for a little bit, but 718-508-9002 is the phone number. I would love for all of you to call in and try to win the coaching package. And I'll see if I can come up with some other condolence packages for additional callers if they don't happen to have the right answer. So we've got some neat things. I've got some upcoming books and tapes and downloads for you all that'll be available on the website soon. That website, of course, is unlockyourwealth.com. Today's show is sponsored by HQ Real Estate and Investment LLC. HQ Real Estate and Investment LLC is a boutique real estate agency that helps you build wealth through real estate using the principles set forth in the Unlock Your Wealth Financial Freedom series, and they work with you. All of the real estate agents at HQ Real Estate and Investment LLC work with you as a real estate investment advisor. Much like your financial advisor manages your stock portfolio and your investments in the stock market, our real estate agents are much more than just realtors. They are real estate investment consultants, and they will help guide you through the process systematically from being just a renter to learning the keys to home ownership. How do I create home ownership for myself? And then once you get into home ownership, how do I help others help me build my wealth? So at HQ Real Estate and Investment LLC, you too can learn how to build wealth through real estate. Telephone number to call for more information is area code 480-522-1066, 480-522-1066, or you can visit them on the web at www.hqrealestateandinvestment.com. Okay, folks, let's move into our first segment today, and minutes on your money. I was at a real estate conference yesterday, and it was for risk management, and it was specifically on leasing. And so we were talking about obligations for landlords, tenants, et cetera, and all of these new stimulus packages came up, and everybody wanted to talk about what President Obama's budget proposal is talking about. Now, everybody's heard about his incentive for home ownership and that everybody that attempts home ownership will be able to receive an $8,000 credit. So everybody started talking about that. One of the greatest things that we have is real estate professionals, and I'm a broker for a real estate company, so the reason why this is important to me is the National Association of Realtors. It's a phenomenal 100-year-old organization that not only is an advocate for the consumer, yourself, providing resources and tools to educate yourself about the home buying process, but has this huge ethical bar that all of their participants must reach in order to call themselves a realtor. Not every real estate agent is a realtor, so I think I should make that distinction right up front. It's something you all should know. But in addition to that, being an advocate and a membership and ethics organization that helps protect the public, one of the things it does for us also that most people don't know about is they are an advocate in Washington. They have a legislative group, a PAC, if you will, a political action committee that goes and lobbies on our behalf for fair legislation, lobbies against unfair legislation. And they came out with a statement yesterday, and it was the National Association of Realtors' response to Obama's administration's his budgeting plan. And I'm going to read you this letter, and it's from Charles McMillan, our current president for the National Association of Realtors. And it says, "Dear fellow realtor, you may have seen news reports about President Obama's budget proposal that was released today at 11:30 Eastern Time. A small section of the sweeping budget plan has the potential to become a major impediment to a recovery in real estate markets across the nation. NAR is 100% opposed to the provision that modifies the mortgage interest deduction and is prepared to use its formidable array of resources against its enactment. Yes, we are hearing our fabulous president say one thing and do another. He is a phenomenal orator. I will not take that away from him. But what he says and what he's doing are not congruent. Let me read further, and that was my editorial embellishment there. As currently drafted, the plan changes the mortgage interest deduction by reducing the amount of mortgage deductibility on families earning over $250,000. Are you kidding me? Again, editorial embellishment, folks. In boldface print, it continues, this proposed change in the mortgage interest deduction will result in further erosion of home prices and home values. If this proposal is enacted, it will lead to a new round of price depreciation, will cause greater distress on the balance sheets of banks as the collateral value of mortgage-backed securities will continue to decline. Again, in boldface type, a second credit crisis could emerge before the first one is resolved. The letter continues, as you read this, NAR is launching a multi-phase plan of action to eliminate this provision from the budget plan. In the next 24 hours, NAR will be expressing our concerns directly to President Obama, to all members of the United States House of Representatives and the Senate, placing advertisements in the publications read by Washington, D.C. decision makers. Additionally, NAR will be forming a coalition with other groups affected by this proposal. This communication is the first part of our response, and we'll continue to update you, blah, blah, blah. Sincerely, Charles McMillan. Folks, this is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I can't imagine punishing the people who create productive wealth in this country. For those of you just joining us for the first time today, I am a major Ayn Rand Atlas Shrugged fan. I'm more than a fan. I would like to think of myself as a disciple. I was one of those nerdy kids growing up, and I loved the big charts on the wall with all the stars for book reports, and so I was always the first kid to have all the stars. I'd read books and do my book reports way ahead of time. So my teacher, my sixth grade teacher, I loved her, Mrs. Harris, really challenged me. And so she said, Heather, you're not allowed to read a book, because I read so fast. You're not allowed to read a book that's less than 2 inches thick. So I had to go to the library and find all these books that were bigger than 2 inches. So I went with my ruler, and there it was, an Atlas Shrugged, and it sounded cool, and it had this really neat picture on it. So I said, well, you know, that's kind of cool. I think I want to do that. So I picked that book, and holy Moses, if you would have told me what I would have gotten out of that book, and I did an oral book report, too, on it, it was amazing. It was a fictional story, but it helped shape my political views and my views of economic policy, and that's what I majored in when I went to college, was economics, as a result of the incredibly powerful influence that this brought to me. So I was really excited to have read that book. But essentially, let me digest it down for you. This book tells you what's happening now. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy when she wrote it. And she had escaped communist Russia as a child and came here and watched essentially what was going on. And as a result of that, wrote this phenomenal book. Took her 10 years to write it. And it's essentially, you know, the role of what overregulation can do and how it crushes productivity. And you can't penalize the rich, or what Obama's calling rich, because I never thought $250,000 a year was rich, at least not by my standards, you know, and I grew up dirt poor. But for him to penalize the people that are producing wealth and that are creating jobs is just unbelievable to me. Why would anybody want to work? And you can't tell all of these other people, oh, here, you don't have to work so hard because here's a handout. But if we don't have, if everybody is encouraged to take a handout and the people that work hard are being taken advantage of and their money is being taken away to be redistributed, where's their incentive to be productive? And I just want to ask President Obama, throughout his whole time growing up, from his first job to his most recent job, you know, did a poor man or a homeless person ever give you a job? The people that create jobs are the people that are creating wealth. And you cannot punish somebody who is creating wealth for themselves and others through productivity. You can't punish them. You just can't do it. It just blows me away how this works, how they think that somehow that's going to work and be successful long term. It's just not. So I just wanted to bring this out. If we do this, these people that everybody has been encouraged to buy homes and buy homes again, so they upsized. Now because of their income, their upsize, which is offset by their mortgage interest deductibility on their taxes, allowed them to buy a larger home, stimulate the economy. Now those people are going to be punished. But wait a minute. Those are the people that just stimulated our economy. Now, I just don't get it. I can't figure out how you can continue to punish people. But this is not good. And so if you are one of those people that fall into that category where your household income is over $250,000, you need to say, hey, wait a minute. I need to talk to my legislator. I need to write my local state House of Representatives. I need to write my local state senator and say, here is what I need you to do, Mr. or Mrs. Politician. I need you to vote against this, and you need to be articulate about this. And I don't encourage you just to stop there. I encourage you to continue to call every senator that's over there in Washington and every House of Representatives, all 435 of them, and say, look, this is not good for America. What do you think you're doing? You can't take from one person and give to another. This isn't going to last long term. But I'm going to get off my high horse now, and we'll be back in a minute with our next segment, and we will also start taking calls because I see them rolling in for our trivia questions. So sit tight, folks. And we'll be getting on. Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I got to get used to saying this as a married woman now. You were listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio with Heather Wagenhals. Thanks for tuning in. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a moment.
Cash. Cold. What I need.
Your world be eroded, or you can take action against it. So today, as we return, let's get into our trivia question. So let me rephrase the question again for you. Today's trivia question, brought to you by HQ Real Estate and Investment LLC, is regarding mortgage creditworthiness. What is the minimum credit score for mortgage creditworthiness for a conforming conventional loan? Our call-in number is area code 718-508-9002. And I see a hand waving here on the switchboard, so I am going to take this call. And welcome to the show, caller. Who am I chatting with?
This is Karen Gurm.
Hi, Karen. Welcome to the broadcast. Have you been listening long?
I have been listening for, I think, since you started.
Oh, great. What do you think of the show so far? Are you new to the show, or did you listen previously?
No, I'm new to the show, and I love it. I think you have some great information.
Oh, wonderful. Well, stay tuned, because do you have a credit card or a car payment?
I have a credit card.
Well, we've got some great information coming up later on in our Nuts and Bolts segment about credit, so you'll want to stay tuned in for that. But do you have an answer for today's trivia question?
Well, I do. I seem to remember when I purchased my house that they told me it was maybe $680.
Wow, I'm so impressed. Our first caller got it right, yes. And so did he tell you that you made that score, or was he saying you're above it, below it, or how did he present that number to you?
I was above it. My credit score is somewhere over the 700. So he presented it to me as that I was above it, and that 680 was kind of the minimum.
Wow,
minimum
that's number. Impressive, because you sound a bit young, and it's tough to get into those 700s early on. Well, I'm so glad you called. So what we're going to do is, off air, I'm going to have them collect your email address and telephone information, and we are going to set you up on our 13-week coaching package for free. All you had to do was answer the question and get it right.
Fabulous.
Outstanding. Well, stay tuned, because we've got our Nuts and Bolts segment coming up here shortly, and I want to talk to you as well as the rest of the audience about what goes into quality credit, and maybe this will help give you some background as to what made your score so high and what you can do to keep it up there. So thanks again
Absolutely.
For the call, and I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll have someone get all your personal information.
Okay, thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Wow, I can't believe that we were able to get an answer so quick. That really surprised me. So I'm having trouble here with the switchboard panel. It's not responding to me. There we go. Okay. I was having trouble getting her on hold. So, yes, 680 is the magic number, but once we get to nuts and bolts, we're going to talk about why. Well, is that really so important? And the answer is no. Credit quality will trump credit score every time in a manual underwriting scenario. And as a result of what's been going on in the markets the last couple of years in mortgages, we're getting kind of back to that manual underwriting scenario, and I'll talk to you a little bit more about that later in the broadcast. But now we're up to our next segment, Investor's Edge. And I want to talk a little bit about real estate auctions, because there's a lot of them lately, and I went to one with one of my clients last weekend, and I was kind of blown away at what went on. They give you this big book, and there was like 200 homes last week, and there's actually one that's going to be starting today, azproperty.com. I'm going to give them a little free pub. I wanted to be there and bid on some multifamily projects, because they have residential and commercial properties in their auction. It's put on by Remax Commercial here in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's going to be held at the DoubleTree Resort. There is a hotline to call in at 480-682-3191, 480-682-3191. Usually you can register on-site, if you weren't able to pre-register on the Internet. But they also have a way to participate virtually, too. So you can log in, sign up, give them your credit card information, and you can buy a house or at least put the down payment down on your credit card. And so it's pretty exciting. I'm going to share with you what my experiences were last week because I didn't expect it to go the way that it did. Now, to give you some of the criteria, you had to have, when you showed up in person to bid, you had to have a $5,000 cashier's check made out to yourself for each property you were desirous of bidding on. Or if you wanted to be treated in the VIP status and bid on multiple properties, you had to show proof of funds to close, meaning you had to give them a copy of your most recent bank statement relative to the auction date so you could establish that you had the money to pay cash for the houses that you were bidding on, and then you got to sit in a special segment and they brought you water and fluffy stuff. But I went and I just sat with the common folks because I was common folk. I brought a couple of cashier's checks, and my client had cashier's checks too. And we have our little criteria for investing. We have, this is one of my Unlock Your Wealth Financial Freedom Series clients, and he is now in the Master Series for the Keys to Riches because he is not just a homeowner, but he's a real estate investor now. And so we had sat down and came up with his criteria based on what he's trying to accomplish with his family's situation. He's looking for asset appreciation as well as cash flow. So we had certain properties in mind that we previewed prior to the auction, and then we had target prices where we were going to bid, what our opening bid was going to be and what our high bid was going to be, depending on how the auction flowed. Well, folks, let me just tell you that I came close twice. It was going twice, going three times, and then are y'all in? And I got skunked on the two times that I had the property. I thought I was walking away with an investment property. I got skunked, and not just by a little bit of money, too. I got skunked by thousands of dollars, and at that price, it didn't work for me. The real estate investment numbers were not going to work to make that a profitable investment. And so instead of getting caught up in the frenzy like it appeared everybody else was, I'm like, this is not Barrett Jackson Auto Auction. You do not want this to go for $100,000+. But people were going nuts. But let me share some of my observances. When I was standing in line waiting for check-in, I'm looking at all these people. I saw very few industry professionals, meaning my colleagues, other real estate agents there. I saw three, and they were the three that I expected to see there, and one girl who's really dynamic from the real estate school, who's a heavy big-time recruiter. I was surprised to see her there, but it made sense because she's such a go-getter in this business. But most of the people that were there were looking to buy a house for themselves to live in. Or for a relative. I sat next to a woman who is trying to buy a home for her son that just got diagnosed with some serious disease, and he had some kids. And he lives in Fountain Hills currently, and she's in Mesa. And if you're not from Arizona, that makes no sense to you. But suffice it to say, it's a couple hours between each other, depending on which way you go and how much traffic on any given day there is in Phoenix. And so for her to help her son care for himself and her grandchildren, it's too big of a drive. So she was looking to steal something in her own neighborhood. And let me tell you, you know, for value, you know, these people are getting a deal. They're not paying the sales price, but we needed a market correction. And we're closer than we were. And when I say we needed a market correction, what I'm telling you is that we needed to go and get our median home price in line with the median income in Arizona. And I don't know what's going on in other states because I don't live or do business in other states, but I know specifically here, we're a service economy. We have a lot of resorts, restaurants, it's an entertainment town. You come in for a ball game, you go out, you stay at a hotel. It's a service economy. You bring kids here for vacation when the snow is too thick from where you're from. And we don't have a lot of industry. We have Intel, we have Dial, but, you know, for the most part, we don't have a lot of industry. We're a service economy, for sure. And with all of the minimum wage or tipped minimum wage employees out there, you know, it takes 3, 4, and 5 paychecks, I mean, different paychecks, to create a household in order to buy entry-level property now, because this had gotten so out of hand. And it's not that necessarily people here were greedy, but you've got differences in currencies, and you've got different investment clients from different states that don't know the market. And, you know, the two times that I got beat were internet bidders from Canada. So with the exchange rate, it's like half price shopping down here. So even though I felt like the property, my high bid was only $20,000, these people could go to $40,000 and still be able to cash flow, because to them it's like still half price compared to real estate investment in Canada or other states. And what I saw in 04 and 05, when the run-up started to happen, when we just kind of had an inventory issue, we didn't have a value increase. We had a run-up because of demand, and that's when prices go up, when demand is greater than supply. So people were overbidding properties. We had a lot of real estate investment money that was turning over from 1031 exchanges in California. And that's a tax deferment. So instead of paying capital gains every time you sell a house, you kind of exchange the property from one to another. So you're not really getting rid of it according to the tax code, so you don't pay taxes on it. And you can defer that up until you die, and then your kids have to deal with that investment, if you like, or have to pay the taxes on those gains. But all this money was turning over, and California real estate was out of sight. And you couldn't buy entry-level property for $600,000 and rent it to somebody and make a profit on it. You just couldn't. So they were taking all of their money and coming here. And so all of a sudden, our entry-level properties that were $100,000, $125,000, $130,000 properties were all of a sudden going for $170,000 or $180,000. I remember I put a little dinky condo that should have sold for $90,000 during this run-up. I put it on the MLS. I had 40 offers. Nobody had shown the property once. On my lockbox activity, zero. 40 offers. And these real estate agents were writing crazy offers, too. They were writing offers that said, well, we'll go $500 over the best offer. So I could say, well, my best offer was $1 million. Are you going to go $1.5 million? I mean, it just got so ridiculous and so out of hand that I can't even begin to tell you what was going on. And appraisers were having a tough time because they weren't able to get value. Just because there was another sale doesn't equate value. Willing buyer, willing seller, trading freely in an open market does not dictate value. It only dictates price. You know, so it skewed our values. And then after that became commonplace, after a year or so, appraisers started to relent, and then the prices actually value started to meet prices. And so that was part of our problem here. And now that we've had all these foreclosures, we've got all these properties coming in now, and it's actually reducing or bringing back into proportion where our median home price is. I got to speak at Glendale Community College on the economic crisis, and I was their real estate expert that they brought in. And as I was doing homework and research, you know, we were at 140% of median income to median home price at the peak. But we've come down. Now we're getting close to where we need to be. We're still a little high in some cities like Glendale and Peoria. And again, if you're not in Arizona or Maricopa County, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But some of our cities, our median home price and our median income weren't matching. And so now we're seeing a little bit more equity. We're not quite at 100% parity. In some areas, we're at 108, 115%, but we're getting closer. We're not so ridiculously out of proportion like we were. And I was listening to some people talking, you know, the other day, and they were just, you know, general people, not industry people. I was at a coffee shop, and I'm listening to them talk. And they were like, wow, these foreclosures are killing my value. Well, I'm here to say that these foreclosures are not killing value, because at this auction, these things were listed at, you know, for example, the one property that I bid on, it was listed at $45,000, okay? The opening bid was $9,000, and I'm like, ooh, okay. And then I had my number was 20, where I knew that I could go in, rehab it, and then put a renter in it, and I knew where I could make money on this particular house and cash flow my investment. So I'm looking at the numbers and so, okay, so I know I'm gonna go with the opening bid, and then my high bid's gonna be $20,000. And this thing went for almost the list price. And I was blown away. So I took notes on every house, and it didn't matter. I mean, there were houses in there that were $180,000 houses, and you know, their opening bids were like $80,000, and they were getting run up within $30,000 of their list price. So, you know, for value, when this thing records, it's going to show its sales price. Values aren't getting crushed as bad as people think they are. And while there are some good deals, you know, it depends on what your investment criteria is. If you're a fix and flipper, you know, you got to buy low because you're not going to be able to rehab it in order to get a decent amount of money to make it worth your while to fix and flip. Otherwise, you could just loan money to people and be a loan shark and make more money in today's market than what you could for fixing and flipping. So it's got to be worth your while. You've got to have some sort of success metrics. One of the things that the real estate professionals at HQ Real Estate and Investment do is they help you craft a plan to meet your financial objectives. So, and they're one of the show sponsors today. So if you're interested, 480-522-1066, and you can speak to a real estate investment consultant today. How great is that? So that's my little comment on investment. Prices are not hit as hard as people think they are with regard to these foreclosures. They're just hanging on. And part of the reason why these listings are hanging on and properties are staying vacant for so long is there is some issue with communication between the real estate agent and the bank and getting them to respond. I mean, they're moving people around all over the place. They're moving them from, you know, you're wearing this hat today, you're in this department, you're in loss mitigation, now you're in, you know, loan modification, now you're in this department. So how do you work with the same person? How do you be able to create these deals? Well, this guy said I could approve this short sale at this price. Well, not anymore. So that's part of what's kind of going on in that market. And just to kind of give you a flavor for that, if you're looking to invest in foreclosures, it can be a good thing for you. Maybe I'll bring one of my clients on in a future broadcast and we'll talk about what goes into that, because it's not like paint and carpet when you go in and buy these. You know, you're dealing with somebody that has a mentality that, you know, they're crushed and maimed emotionally from whatever event started them not being able to pay their mortgage, and now they're losing their home, and they get this mentality that, well, if I can't have this house, you can't either. And so they do silly things. They take electrical outlets. They take all the appliances, lighting fixtures. They put cement in the toilets, you name it. So when you go in, you have a lot of work to do to get these things ready. So when you have to factor in what is your cost to rehab this particular property. And if I pay X for it and then I have to pay an extra whatever that cost is it still profitable for me? Am I going to live in this for a while first before I sell it? Or am I looking to buy this to create a rental property, or am I looking to flip this? These are all things that you need to ask yourself and your real estate investment consultant who's working with you to create your investment plan. And you got to be devoid of emotion when you do this, because that's one of our keys and the keys to riches that we're going to be coming up soon with, is take emotion out of the picture. And emotion can be a curious thing. It can be a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing for us. And in a future broadcast, we will talk about that particular key. But today, we would like to talk about nuts and bolts regarding our key for this week, which is create credit. Now, if you are considering your first charge card, or if you're looking at your credit report but squinting because you feel like you're looking straight into the sun without sunglasses because, ooh, you've done something wrong, that's all right, but you need to listen to this key and you need to listen to this nuts and bolts segment. Understanding how your credit score really works, credit inquiries, and credit quality. I can't tell you enough about credit quality. and how important credit quality is. We're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back and talk to you about credit, what it is, what it isn't, and what you can do today to take action to make your credit the best it possibly can be. You're listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio with Heather Wagenhall. Stay tuned.
All day long I'd busy, busy long. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a busy, busy rich, idle, idle, deedle, idle man, I'd build a big tall house with rooms by the thousand, right in the middle of the town. A fine tin roof with real wooden floors below. There could be one long staircase just going up, and one even longer coming down, and one more leading nowhere just for show. I fill my yard with chicks and turkeys and geese and ducks for the town to see and hear, with each one squawking noisily as they can, and each loud would burst like a trumpet on the ear, as if to say, here lives a wealthy man. If I were a rich man.
Welcome back. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am your illustrious hostess and financial guide through the murky financial waters.
I've had it up to here. Listen.
Okay, we got 80 things going on here. I'm having some challenges here with what the heck? Where'd my switchboard go? Okay, I think we're good now. Technical issues on the first broadcast day back in the broadcast seat of financial excellence, because that's what we're after here. Okay, so minor technical glitch. Let's talk nuts and bolts, okay? Let's talk about creating credit. Now, some people put incredible emphasis on credit. Other people don't put enough emphasis on credit. But what you need to know about credit is that credit is a reflection of how you have managed your commitments. That's all credit is. It's not an indictment. It's not a glowing, fabulous indication of how wonderful you are in other areas of your life, because you can have good credit but be a bad person. And it's not a death sentence if you have messed it up. So that's the good news. But credit is just it's just information that people can use to make a determination of whether they should extend you a financial obligation. How you handle your commitments is all that your credit reflects. There are 85 factors that go into a credit score, but only three really make a big deal worth of difference. I usually do this as a trivia question, so maybe I'll do this later on down the road, but I'm going to tell you now, so write it down and remember this. There are 85 factors that go into a credit score, but there are two things that don't. Two things that don't. And I usually try to elicit one of those two things in my trivia question. So if you see it come up, you're going to have the answer. So write this down. Number one, ECOA. ECOA is the Equal Credit Opportunity Act. So in the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, it says that demographic information about you cannot be included. So race, country, color, creed, religion, national origin, sexual orientation, any of those protected classes cannot be included. So when someone pulls your credit, they don't know if you're Kelly Smith, a guy, or Kelly Smith, a girl. Okay, you're just Kelly Smith. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever your credit number is. Okay, so you're just plain old Kelly Smith. What is the second thing that your credit does not take into account? Any guesses? Someone? Anyone? Oh, that's right. I don't have any callers for this. So I'm going to tell you this, so write this down and remember this for a future broadcast for a trivia question, because the second thing your credit does not take into account in your credit score is income. When someone says that you are declined, it's an underwriting decision. It's not just about your credit, although different credit lenders for different types of credit have different underwriting criteria. It's not just your credit alone that makes the difference. So if you're declined for something, it may not be because you have bad credit. You might not have enough income to qualify. And income is a separate underwriting determination. It does not go into your credit score. So 85 factors, but all of your gender or protected classes are not included, and income is not included. So remember that for a future trivia question. There are 85 factors that go into a credit score, but what are the three that make a big difference? I'll tell you one, and it's not even the most. But out of all of the percentages, on-time payments only represents 30% of your credit score. It's not everything. Okay, and it's the one that's easily fixable. Number two, and this one you can't fix, it is what it is tenure. And it's 15% of your score, and that is simply how long you have had credit. Is this a brand new account, 4 to 6 months? Or have you had this mortgage for 10 years that you've been paying on every month? So the longer you've had credit affects 15% of your score. 30% is on-time payments, and I'll give you a little qualifier with that, too, in a second. And can anybody think of what that third factor that's one of the bigger ones, it's the biggest out of all of them? Available credit. Available credit. So if you have $10,000 in a limit, and you have $9,000 on that card, what you have is $1,000 of available credit. So your ratio of available credit is pretty tiny. If you have a $10,000 charge card and you have a $1,000 balance, you have a $9,000 available credit amount. So you have 90% of the credit extended to you available. Does anybody have any clue what happens on interest-only loans? Guess what? You never have available credit because you're not paying down the principal. Unless you make a specific payment to principal, interest-only loans do nothing for your availability score, which is 35% of your credit score. So we can talk in a future broadcast about what that all means, but today we're talking specifically about credit score. Now, when the scoring model goes to calculate your credit score, and, you know, you think about on-time payments, you think that might be the most important one, but it's not. Again, available credit is. The scoring model only looks at or weights the last 24 months. So if you've had a payment for 5 years and goofed up, like in the second year, but you're in the fourth year, we won't really, that even though we can see that you goofed up because your whole history for that particular account is available, the last 24 months of on-time payments makes that insignificant, because how you've behaved in the last 2 years are what people are concerned about. Have you had any catastrophic events? Have you just been a slacker in the last 2 years? Because that's going to give them an indicator of how you're going to behave in the future. And credit is a beautiful thing. And people put a lot of emphasis on credit and credit score, but your credit score is only a snapshot in time of what's going on today. And later on in the week, I will upload a really cool document that helps illustrate how score is calculated with pictures and stuff, because it's hard to digest it, just me speaking about it. But essentially, credit score, when they pull your scores, they take a look at your credit, and then they take that information and average it against everybody else that has had similar credit experiences, similar credit and quantity, how many, how long, and so that it's this average, you know. So if anybody tells you, oh, well, an inquiry counts 10 points against your credit, just ignore them because they don't even know what they're talking about. There is no way to quantify a point value because of the way the scoring model works. So let me dispel that myth. There is no points for this, that, and by the way, the government passed a law in 99 saying you can't count inquiries against you. They don't affect your score, but they affect an underwriting decision. So if I'm looking and you're applying for a home loan from me today, and I'm looking and then you've gone to Joe's Cadillac and you went to apply for a car loan there, and then I see 10 credit card applications, oh, and you went to, you know, Fred's RV and Boat Center, I'm thinking this might not be the only credit extension he's gotten. He might have actually got that car and that RV, but his payment isn't being reported yet because it's too soon in the cycle because he just applied for that credit 2 weeks ago. Maybe me giving him a loan isn't going to work because what he's telling me he makes and what he owes, he may owe a little bit more than what he's disclosed here, and I can't see it on the credit report. So that's where you find yourself declined, but it's not because of inquiries in your score. It's because inquiries affect underwriting decisions. So anyway, we could talk about credit all day long, but I kind of wanted to tell you what credit is and what credit isn't, and it's not a death sentence because it's a snapshot in a moment in time, and I'll upload a document, and for those of you that subscribe to the e-zine, I'll send you a little tickler and send you that document so you can see exactly how that works, and as it goes, we'll be back visiting Create Credit as a segment again in a future broadcast, so stay tuned, and we'll talk about different aspects of credit the next time around, but time is leaving us, so we need to move on to our Keys to Riches segment and actually talk about our featured key this week. Again, like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, the Keys to Riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that not only teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money, but it also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth through real estate, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. So whether you are starting out or starting over, credit is not a death sentence, okay? So in today's key, Create Credit, we are going to focus on our key statement, and I just, here it is. Our key statement for the week is, my credit is a reflection of who I have been and who I am currently, but is not an indictment of who I will be, and I have the power to change the direction of my life and my credit profile. So given that, we're going to start, because everybody's like, oh, I have bad credit. Never say that. Our key affirmation is, I am great at managing my credit. So I'm going to leave you with that thought. Thank you for tuning in. This is Unlock Your Wealth with Heather Wagenhals. We will see you next time.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
Up to here, listening to a small segment of people trying to put down America. America's the greatest land on earth, and we ought to be proud of what we have. I'm proud of America. I'm proud of our people, and I'm going to prove it. We're American and damn proud of it.
Frankly, I'm getting a little ticked off.
Go to hell.